Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your heart.
Stay. I'm done hiding. Now I'm shining like I'm born to be. We dream and hard. We came so far. Now I believe. We're going.
I'm done hiding, now I'm shining. Yes, your dream divas, Kelly and myself, are down with the K-pop kids vibe here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. But that song, Golden, is huge right now, massively downloaded, and it's just won best song at the Oscars. Of course it did, because it strikes a deep nerve, because many of us think we're afraid of failure, but often what we really fear is shining.
It's so true. I'm hiding in the shadows even right now. I think we need to listen to that song right at the edge of sleep every night so that we can switch the way we think about it. Because I think some part of us, when we step out of the shadows, we're like, oh no, is everybody going to kill me? I better tone myself down. Oh God, it's so hard.
The moment we start glowing a little brighter, some part of us whispers, doesn't it? Maybe I should tone that down. Because we are raised to be kind, accommodating, selfish, to put others first. And those are wonderful spiritual qualities, aren't they, Kelly?
Oh, it's so true. You in the UK, you guys are even more, I think there's something in the cultural difference, because in America, we all kind of dim our light. But in the UK, I think you guys are Olympians of, oh, no, you go first.
Precisely. And that's why today's theme might sound a little surprising. Today, we're talking about the healing power of a little selfishness. Now, don't panic. I'm not talking about narcissistic, ego-driven selfishness. I'm talking about the healthy, humble kind that says, excuse me, my well-being matters too. Kelly,
exactly. Oh, exactly. And our dreams, I think this is why we need to pay attention to our dreams, because they are the most selfish thing we can do in a good way, with a capital S. They remind us that we are always stepping into a hall of mirrors. There's no other person out there. Every place, every person, every strange symbol, it's all about us. It's enough about me. Let's talk about me.
Yes, my dream diva sister, having a mind meld with you there. Dreams are created by you, for you, and they're all about you, which means tonight we are on the red carpet for the premiere of the epic story of you. And
oh,
what
that
a
is
story
so
it is, isn't it? What our dreams tell us. But today we're going to explore how embracing that positive healing form of inside-out selfishness can transform not only our dreams, but our waking lives too. And we have a truly exceptional panel of psychologists and authors joining us for this dreamy conversation. And I'm so excited to introduce our first guest, bring her into the spotlight. Not that she needs it, because she's in the spotlight already. She's a chartered psychologist and one of the UK's leading self-care and self-advocacy experts. She has 3 decades of experience in the health and well-being industry, drawing on her qualifications in yoga and personal training together with psychology to empower people with sustainable, healthy lifestyle habits. Susie has a special interest in helping people heal their relationship with themselves. She's a monthly columnist for Top Santé magazine, the psychology expert for Noom Organics, the well-being ambassador for BABTAC, and is a founding member of the Nourish app. My goodness. She's the author of The Little Book of Self-Care, The Self-Care Revolution, Stand Tall Like a Mountain, Self-Care for Tough Times. This book will help make you happy and breathe, sit to get fit, rest to reset, and self-care for winter. How to Be Selfish is hot off the press. How does she have time with all that? But she is busy right now turning our understanding of selfishness on its head. Instead of seeing selfishness as something negative, this book is a rallying cry for women, especially to take up space, reclaim our time, and be unapologetic about living our lives in the way we want to, and how caring for ourselves, emotionally, mentally, physically, is actually essential if we want to show up fully for others. Her work is all about helping people heal their relationship with themselves, develop a compassionate inner voice, and move beyond basic self-care into something even more powerful, self-advocacy. Susie, it's wonderful to have you here.
Oh, what a glorious introduction. Thank you so much.
I could see you sitting there thinking, what show am I on? Well, it's the healing power of your dreams. Kelly, is there anything you'd like to say to Susie?
Oh my God, I've got so many things to say to her, but I don't want to be selfish and take up all the space myself. I just know that this is one of the most core issues I deal with. As a Leo, astrologically speaking, nobody would ever accuse me of being selfless, but I'm always grappling with what is too much, what is too little, and how do we take care of people without burning ourselves out. So I'm really excited that you're here, Susie. This is maybe the most important thing that we can talk about, besides dreams, but they do relate to each other. So I'm so happy you're here.
Dreams first. I'm an Aries, Susie. So again, with me, it's this balance between putting myself first and not. But let me start with the big reframe that this book is presenting. It invites us to rethink selfishness entirely. How did this word, this simple word, become so misunderstood? And what does healthy selfishness actually look like today? And just as a caveat, just talk as long as you like. I'm a carer. My husband has Alzheimer's. So how can I be selfish, or people in a situation like me who are caring for vulnerable dependents? But first of all, that word selfishness.
Selfishness, yeah. Oh, it's so laden, isn't it? I think it's a word that we all physically recoil from. You know, being labeled as selfish, no one aspires to this. However, I really wanted to challenge our relationship with the word selfish, because what I hear time and time again in my consulting room, women labeling themselves as selfish for things like focusing on self, having spent the entire day tending to the needs of others, saying no, or pausing to rest, or leaning on others, or even feeling uncomfortable with accepting help that's offered, let alone asking, requesting. Now, none of these things are selfish. This is self-advocacy. This is where we're allowing ourselves to represent our needs and express our feelings. So we needed to have a conversation about our understanding of selfishness, but also selflessness, because I think that can be equally problematic in that we aspire to be a selfless individual. But I don't know about you, but what I've learned the hard way, that when I'm selfless, that's when I'm likely to be shouty wife, scary mommy, right? I think if we can have a look at what actually are we speaking to when we're thinking about selflessness? Is it being present? Is it being patient? Is it being compassionate, available? Well, then let's ask ourselves, what kind of resourcing do we need to be able to show up as that? Selflessness is the barrier to all of those things, right? So it's allowing our humanness to get a look in. And that's not selfish. It's a basic human need.
Thank you. And the second part of my question about carers, for example,
Yes.
with who it's very hard to be selfish when 24/7, the needs of
Absolutely.
someone kind of have to be above your own. I'd love your thoughts on that.
So I actually came to the concept of self-care when I became a mom at the same time as losing my father to motor neurone disease. And that collision of life events, it tests any human being. It doesn't matter what tools, what skills, what practices you have at your fingertips reach. So for so many of us, I think this is something that a lot of people would agree with. When you need it the most, that's when the things that you would normally do are inaccessible. So I totally understand how challenging it can be to turn attention inwards. But I think if there's anything that I learned from that life experience, the simple mantra that I've come to live by is that my depletion serves no one and my replenishment serves everyone. Yeah, our ability to nourish self will, of course, be a function of life variables. It's not just a matter of we'll create an extra hour in a day, but this is where the toolkit comes from. We need skills, not just go and do this activity for an hour. So this is where I would start in these periods of squeeze would be simple things like working with the breath, because we're doing it anyway. It doesn't take any extra time. I'd be using somatic holds that can offer a little bit of containment, a little bit of compassion, tenderness in the midst of these very big emotions that we might be experiencing. And an example of that would be just a simple hand on heart gesture. Or if you're up for trying another one, we could do the face hug. Do you fancy doing the face hug?
Do I mean it's audio only, so if you could
Okay,
describe
I will
it,
talk everyone through. So to
please.
do the face hug, if you can't join us now, I'm hoping this is something that you'll want to come back to later. But if you can free up your hands, it's safe to do so. We're going to start by rubbing the hands together to create some warmth. And then let's tenderly cradle our chin in our hands. So chin cradled by hands, fingertips curl round to the temples. And we're just feeling the support of the hands. And with this gesture, we're saying to ourselves that we are deserving of care. We're deserving of kindness, all that love and nurturing that we effortlessly and generously extend to other people. We can allow some of that to be turned inwards as well. And that's not a transgression of our values. It's actually a more honest, authentic, and complete expression of them. And hopefully that feels nice. And when you're ready to release, we can let go and hopefully enter our day with just a little bit more tenderness.
I'm going to keep my hands there, Susie, because I like it. Margarita, you're a young mother, so putting yourself first, hard too, being selfish as a mother. I'd love you to discuss that with Susie.
Well, Susie, I've actually, it's Susie knows I've had sessions with Susie actually. That's one of the reasons that she's came to the show because I am a huge fan, have all her books, and I needed help with self-advocacy in my life, navigating a toxic workplace part-time while being a full-time mother was incredibly hard. And what I think was interesting is that at that time in my life, I couldn't obviously walk away from motherhood and I couldn't walk away from my job. So, Susie, if you've got someone else listening who is in a similar situation would say, Susie, I would love to self-advocate. I would love to have all these boundaries, but my husband doesn't get back until 10 o'clock at night. My manager's breathing down my neck. I've got bills to pay, and I have no idea how to use my voice for anything other than just to survive. Where would they start? What would the first step be? I know what you told me and it helped me enormously, but what would you tell people that are listening?
Okay, so I would encourage people to first up, we've got to come home to self because we are so distracted, disconnected from ourselves. It can be very hard to even know where we're at. So, the very simple ritual that I do on a daily basis, every time I take a sip of water, I do it with my hand on my heart. And if anyone has a glass of water and they want to try it now, it's incredibly potent. If you can, give it a little go. Have a little sip of water with the hand on your heart. And notice how it heightens the sensory experience of drinking. You really notice it. You can feel the temperature of the glass at your lips, the temperature of it in your mouth, how it feels to hold it in your mouth, to swallow it. And it feels so much more rejuvenating. But we can couple with that practice a very simple check-in. So hands on heart, have a little sit. And as you're doing that, I want you to ask yourself, where are you at? What's happening right now? Where's your body at? Where's your heart at? Where's your head at? And without judgment or criticism or, you know, is it right? Is it wrong? Just notice. And based on those observations, and we ask ourselves, what do we need? And that simple starting point. Now, sometimes that's going to be, where's the cat? I need to sit with the cat in my lap just for a minute, watch it breathe, co-regulate. Sometimes it's going to be, it's the sunshine. It's made an appearance today. I need to go and receive. Sometimes it's going to be, I need to pick up the phone and call a friend because I need someone to care for me. It's not always what we can do to care for self. But I think if we can regularly do this check-in, we can start taking action at the whisper rather than waiting for the shout of illness, injury, conflict, burnout. But granted, it's very challenging in these circumstances where there isn't a great deal of wiggle room. But what we can do is just be a little bit more tender with ourselves in the midst of that.
Margarita, working with Susie, was it a shift for you? Did it create an inner shift?
Yes, it was an absolute shift. I was in a situation where I literally, as I said, I couldn't walk away from my job. I had to pay my bills. So she helped me reframe myself in the situation. And she used, I mean, you can explain in a moment, Susie, but the power of humour as well, to see this external person and situation and to take my power back from it, in even in a small way, even just in a tiny way. So I reframe how I think about it. I reframe, this person is not this ginormous ogre in my head every day. It's I minimized it. In fact, we kind of played around with different scenarios where actually this person became very small and very kind of minuscule and didn't matter anymore. And those voices, they weren't as big and loud and shouty in my head anymore. I mean, I've worked as a news producer. You can imagine the stress that I've been under, and it helped enormously. And also, just to follow on from that, Susie, before you tell everyone at home about that practice, so much of it is somatic, isn't it? I've already heard that word a few times, so maybe just elaborate a little bit on what somatic practice means and how really embodying and getting into your body, how does that help us in our emotional lives?
Let's have that be a little cliffhanger, because we're about to go to a little selfish break. Oh my goodness. So we're going to just take this short break, but don't go anywhere, because you want to hear about the somatic tips that Susie's going to share with us. When we return, we'll uncover even more ways your dreams are secretly encouraging you to step back into your own beautifully selfish light.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Healing Power of Your Dreams with your dream divas, Teresa Chung and Kelly Sullivan Walden. And Susie, you left us on a cliffhanger there because you didn't answer the question. Well, we couldn't because of the ad break. If you wouldn't mind answering the question.
Sure. So a somatic practice is essentially, it's a body-centered practice. It's something that involves some kind of touch, some kind of breath work, some kind of grounding, and it's designed to soothe the nervous system.
Thank you so much. And now joining this amazing conversation with the brilliant Susie Redding, author of How to Be Selfish, is someone whose work aligns beautifully with everything we've been exploring today. Lorena Bernal is an actress, model, former Miss Spain, and author of a very empowering book called It Starts With You. It's beautifully written and uplifting read to help you reset, refocus, and reconnect with yourself, especially in moments of self-doubt, and we all have those. Lorena also knows a thing or two about navigating life in the public eye, as she's the wife of the manager of Arsenal Football Club, Mikel Arteta. Indeed, this may actually be the only episode of Therapy of Dreams that my son Robert will be listening to because he's a fan. So, Lorena, no pressure. I want him to listen to lots of episodes after this. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yay, there's Lorena.
Hi.
Bienvenidos.
Gracias.
We're all taking our sip of water and holding our hands on our
Sorry, I was trying to find the right button to unmute me. Sorry.
I love that it's live. And I suddenly realized we have a former Miss Spain and a former Miss UK with Margarita. No pressure.
And a former Miss Public Nuisance.
And panic. panic. But Lorena, your book, congratulations. Let's talk about the core message of the book, and then I'd love you to join the conversation with Susie. I devoured It Starts With You because it carries such a powerful message and one I actually really need to connect to at this moment in my life, which with everything that's going on, being a carer. But what was the personal experience or turning point that inspired you to realize that real change truly does begin within?
Well, for me, it was a discovery that happened in my first, I would say, 40 years of life, having navigated many different worlds, many different cultures, many different dynamics. And at the end of the day, I did discover that truth that was, it all starts with you, how you interpret life, how you want to live your life, the choices you make, how you live love, how you live happiness, what you understand, it all starts with you. Then it continues with your relationship with others, with your work, your life, but love, happiness, peace, it does starts with you. So I discovered that in a very clear way, and I decided to write a guide to help whoever wanted to read it to get to that point and get back to their own power, because it really depends on us. It doesn't depend on the money we have, the status, the family, the others, the love we receive. It doesn't depend on all of that. It really depends on you, and it starts on you. That's why the title of the book. So yeah, it's a guide that I wanted to take people through, and it's been great. It's been great. The feedback has been amazing, and I'm very happy for it.
And I'd love to ask you something, which I know Susie's keen to discuss on this show, about generational patterns in your family. Have a lot of the women in your line put themselves second so that you felt you had to break that pattern now and write this book?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, yes. But I kind of reframed it. I think that when you put others before you, you're deeply doing it for yourself. Really? And we don't see that. We think we're doing it for the others, but who needs that? You. So you're doing it for yourself. So we tend, women that do that, I think we tend to feel that's selfish. No, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for the others because I love the others. Yes, but at the end of the day, who is feeling that happiness or that fulfillment by doing it? It's you. So you're doing it for yourself. But then there's the next step of realizing that you're doing it from yourself. You're not doing it for the others or for yourself, but from your love, from the expansion of who you are. And you are generous, you are loving, and you want the others to be happy, to be fulfilled, because that fulfills you. And that makes you expand on your love. And I think that at the end of the day, that's what we all are looking for, the expansion of our love. So I kind of reframed it in the understanding, which took me to a place of peace, because that fulfillment or happiness or peace didn't depend on the others valuing what I was doing or giving me back what I was giving. The fulfillment came by extending that love I had inside. And that's some of the work I do with others, not to make them understand that you're doing it to expand the love you are without expecting anything from the others, no? That fulfills you.
There's so many quotable moments in this episode when I listen back. There's a quote. Susie, I'd love your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, so much of what we've learnt by virtue of what our parents have modeled for us. But I had no idea I was so lucky seeing my dad have a siesta on the weekends and seeing my mum knit of an evening or go off to her choirs. It was normal for my parents to express themselves in that way. And yet for a lot of other people, they've not had that modeled. I mean, there are still some things I've definitely needed to do some unlearning of my own. But yeah, what we've grown up with. You look at how emotions are talked about. We're told that there are good and bad emotions. I think that's enormously unhelpful. We need all of our emotions. There are no positive and negative ones. There are ones that feel lovely and there are ones that are painful. But just that dichotomy. So there are all sorts of things that we need to sort of hold up to the light and say, hang on a minute, does this serve us? From, how we rear children to gender conditioning to our understanding of concepts like resilience and gratitude.
Agree. Margarita, may I bring you into the conversation with Lorena and Susie here to get your perspective, especially on the generational.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day actually with this conversation. So I have a 2-year-old girl and she is described as wild and free. And sometimes the word naughty has been used, not by me, but other people. And I thought, how interesting that we are labeling this vibrant little girl as and wanting to kind of already at the age of 2 make them smaller, make them more compliant, make them behave how society tells us to behave. And I wondered what we'll go to you first, Lorena, what you think about shaping the next generation. I know you have 3 boys, and I've listened to shows before where you have just lit up when you mention motherhood and your children. And it's genderless, really. It's about teaching the next generation to how to self-advocate and how to look after themselves. And I think that we are modeling that. We are the circle breakers, aren't we? The generational trauma breakers.
Hopefully we are, because we need to do it quickly. But yes, you are absolutely right. I totally agree. I think the best way of making our children happy and understanding who they are and how to live in the best way possible is to model it. So we need to understand a lot of things from our childhood, from our past generations, from ourselves. And it's the best way. Less lectures, less talking from the intellect to their brains, and more modeling happiness and peace and acceptance, because that's at the end of the day what they will see and they will integrate in their own way of living. And it's true that maybe when we were kids, they tend to model us, no, to make us as they thought it was the best way to be. But by doing that, you are not allowing the child to just be who he is or he or she is meant to be in this journey, no? So the best way is, yeah, allowing yourself to be healed, free yourself, loving, and by that allowing them to be themselves and to do whatever they came to do to this life.
Yes,
I want to jump in if it's okay, if there's a moment. These books pair so well together. They're selfish, and it starts with you. And I'm hearing my mom's voice in my head. When I was little, she would say to me and my sisters, "Selfish, selfish, selfish! You girls are so selfish." And it was the biggest shame. But what I'm thinking as a hack to get around it is, both of you have talked about being loving. Like, what does it take for us to be loving? And maybe there's some kind of a psychological thing. If I can be more loving to other people, then maybe I do need to fill up my own well, and it's not just this shameful thing. How do you feel about that, Susie?
Oh, that strikes a deep chord. But do you know what? I want to take it a step further. I've written 9 books about self-care, and everyone nods in agreement. And I would suggest that a lot of us are very, very diligent in taking care of our health. We're eating well, we're moving our bodies, we're respecting our sleep needs, you know, we're observing all of these things. But it's not enough. We also need to receive love and care. So that's why I want to broaden the conversation from just filling your cup. You think about the number of cups that you fill. Please, can we allow others to also top us up? And we need that not just for our health, but for the health and well-being of our relationships.
Oh, I'm going to jump in there because I'm aware there's an elephant in the room. We're not getting the male perspective here. We're a very superstar panel of women who are stepping into their own power. And it took a very courageous male to volunteer to talk to the Dream Divas and this team today.
God Bill bless Webster, you.
Our guest presenter, who is an author, an actor, and an intuitive guide. Hello, Phil, are you there?
I am here. Thanks, guys. Thanks for inviting me again. I've really enjoyed listening to everything you've been saying so far and been making notes, and there's so many things I would like to jump in with, but I feel that this is a really nice... Everyone's so much on the same page here, and myself included, I would like to say. Yeah, I'm just loving hearing all of it. But yeah, forgive me, the male. I feel like there's enough male voices in the world right now that are heard too much. So I'm going to come in very humbly.
Humble male here, thank you.
We've heard enough from men, way too much from men lately. But yeah, just to bring it in, I work as a spiritual life coach, for want of a better terms. And I love what you guys were saying earlier about selfishness being misinterpreted. I often talk to people about ego, and especially men. Ego comes up around men all the time. And then people kind of just jump to this generalized term of it, when I feel that we need our ego to protect ourselves, right? It's not necessarily about being full of yourself or you know, assertive. It's about not getting hurt, not getting taken advantage of. So yeah, I would just love to hear the differences that Susie and Lorena too think, that what maybe about how men perceive selfishness to women, because I feel, forgive me for rambling, but it's a somewhat archaic core, but I think that men are hardwired to push through adversity, and this isn't strictly men, of course, but to just get the job done. And I feel that this can skew what men feel is them being reliable and what might come across as selfish.
Okay, who wants to go first?
Fascinating question. Yeah, I certainly. The way that we've been reared in terms of gender conditioning has a huge impact on what we think of as a good woman, a good man, the kind of emotions that are appropriate for us to express, you know, what we should be aspiring to. And absolutely, we need to hold up to the light and take a look at what, yeah, the what we've been told. It's, yeah, huge impact on our capacity to advocate for ourselves. I think something that I notice is that I think men have been reared to really value their time. Women have been reared to sort of, we know that, you know, we're meant to, our worth is contingent on how well we've serviced the needs of everyone, how happy we've kept all the people. And so, of course, that will lend itself to different expressions of self. But yeah, it's, we need to take a look, don't we?
Absolutely.
It seems like, I'm just curious, because there's so many, like kind of the bad men of the world are in the media right now, the ones that are extremely selfish, the Epsteins and the Epsteins and Epsteins and the and all of the ones that are being under scrutiny right now, which is really good. But it seems that it's made a lot of the good men nervous, like, oh God, I don't want to be associated with them. So how do you grapple with that?
Me?
You,
Wow,
Phil,
okay, I didn't
you
see this
good
one
man,
coming.
Phil,
I don't, I
representative of
mean,
the good men.
personally, I don't want to come across as feeling like I've, you know, that I've figured everything out, but again, I feel very much on the same page with a lot of what you guys have been talking about, and personally recognize my strengths and weaknesses, and I'm very happy to turn my weaknesses over to someone else, my partner, that she excels in, where I don't, you know. So I don't feel particularly under threat because of the, I feel that this has been a long time coming. And I feel that this shift needs to take place. I feel that we should have a matriarchal society, and the hopefully this is the turning point in so many ways. And I don't say that trying to be like a sort of white knight stepping in, trying to just agree with everyone. You know, a lot of indigenous cultures talk of having matriarchal societies, and it's not about women ruling things. It's just about nurturing emotional wisdom and the planet and emotional intelligence in men, whereas that's wildly off balance and has been for so long. So I think that this is, yeah, I'm here for it. Yeah.
Thank you, Phil. Lorena, how do you feel about that? And was your husband ready for a matriarchal society?
I mean, I have three boys, so I'm raising three boys. So I'm really a lot into all this. And I have so many opinions and thoughts about all this. I mean, all these men that are maybe not behaving as they should have been raised by women. So it's not just changing men, it's also changing women. I think we are different, we are complementary. I think we need both the feminine and the masculine, as we need the sun and the earth, you know, and we need each other. In order to grow, we need to understand the differences, accept them, complement them. And I wouldn't blame men for being, you know, destructive or bad, or because, as I said, they were raised by women. It's not their fault either. Maybe it's a disconnection of the humanness we have inside, independently of the gender. It's the role that each gender has taken in history. I think we are in a moment of time where we are all more free to express who we are, our masculinity, our femininity, our in between. And I think it's a matter of healing ourselves so we can model to the children and to others how to become the best and authentic version of yourself, independently of you being a man or a woman or an in-between, because we all need each other. Like, we really need each other to for the ecosystem of Earth and humanity to function as it should. And how would that be? Well, at peace, and each accepting each other, doing our thing and helping each other, sometimes not mixing because we don't agree or we are different, you know, like tigers and lions, we'll never meet, but that doesn't mean they are enemies, no? Like, we don't have to meet everyone and accept everyone. But just if we heal ourselves independently of if we are male or female or whatever we are, we will raise our children better, we will have our relationships better, and little by little, the energy of humanity will heal. Little by little, I think we should focus on that instead of just blaming a gender or the other gender, no, because they are all codependent on each other.
Thank you. Heal yourself before healing others, often is the message here that's coming through. Going to have to take another short break now, but please hold that self-care dream, everyone, because you owe it to yourself to join us all again on the other side.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good. Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Healing Power of Your Dreams with your dream, Teresa Chung and Kelly Sullivan Walden. That's me. Today we are exploring the healing power of positive selfishness, learning to prioritize our well-being so that we can truly shine rather than hide. Before the break, we were joined by wonderful Susie Reading and Lorena Bernal. And to continue this conversation, let's keep going. So let's see, Susie.
Question for Susie quickly, if that's okay.
Susie, yes.
You spoke about moving from self-care to self-advocacy earlier, but I'm curious about the seasonality of self-care that you often mention, because our lives often move through busy, demanding seasons and quieter, reflective ones. How can people tune in and recognize what kind of self-care or self-prioritizing they actually need in different seasons of their lives?
Oh, what a gorgeous question. So interesting. Yes, there are seasons of nature which I think have an impact on the kind of nourishment that we would need. But yes, seasons of our lives as well. So again, it's about tuning inwards, and it's about allowing ourselves to do what we need to do. There are some seasons of life where we can go hammer and tongs at that particular project because the rest of life's variables allow us to go and express ourselves along those lines, whether it's career, whether it's further study, or whether it's, you know, learning some kind of skill. And yet there are other seasons of life where it's enough to just survive. Yeah, it's enough just to focus on putting one foot in front of the other and pausing as we need to. So this is about how can we give ourselves grace to do what we need to do to manage what's unfolding in our lives at the time.
Thank you, Susie. There's so many questions I want to ask, so little time. But Lorena, I'm going to go to you. Your book, It Starts With You, encourages people to take responsibility for their inner world. You expressed that so beautifully before the break. Thank you. For listeners, though, who feel stuck in patterns of people-pleasing or self-doubt, what's one simple daily practice that can begin shifting that relationship with themselves right now?
I would... A simple exercise is to imagine you have a camera on your eyes right? And we see everything from there. We look at everything from our eyes. So we look outwards to the others and we look towards ourselves. The exercise I suggest is instead of having the camera in our eyes and turning it inward or outwards, is to have the camera, quote unquote, inside our heart. So if you have that camera inside your heart, it doesn't, whatever you do is not for you or for the others, but from you. So when whatever you do comes from you, independently of who that action is touching, it will touch first yourself because it's coming from inside, from your authentic whatever you have inside. Normally it's just love. So it comes from there outwards. And so if you imagine that exercise and you practice your actions instead of coming from your kind of your eyes and your brain area, if they come from the inside of your heart, whatever you do will touch first yourself because you are in on the way, in the way. So you will touch yourself and you will touch the others and you will be also more in touch of how you feel. No, that you were talking about seasons. We all go through seasons. We are pieces of nature as trees, plants, animals. We all have our autumn, our spring, our winter. None of the seasons are better or worse. They are just nature, and that's how we are. I don't think a tree is sad when it loses its leaves in autumn. It's just part of the cycle. So if we analyze all those seasons from our heads, from our eyes, we are staying in a judgment, ego kind of world. But go to your heart, inside your heart, just live from there, and you will accept everything you go through. Sometimes you will be tired, sometimes you will be more melancholic, more happy, more helper or not, or but it will be yourself, and you will feel peace, which is at the end of the day what we should seek for.
Heartfelt peace is the new success. You are so right. And this is such a wealthy show. I can't believe it, of inner peace, because we've got two wonderful women joining the conversation now. We've got clinical psychologist Dr. Amy Robbins, who is going to ask her fellow psychologist Jess Baker about the phrase Jess coined, which is also the title of her award-winning book, Super Helper Syndrome, which describes people who feel compelled to constantly be selfish, support, rescue, or care for others, often at the expense of their own being. Amy, you've got a few minutes with Jess, so over to you in the spotlight.
Thank you so much. Hi, Jess. Welcome. So
Hi, Amy. Thank you.
I have a feeling that people are hear this term and everybody's hands go up. That is me. There's such an identification with sort of the flip side of what we've been talking about. Self, we've been talking about self being selfish, but this is about being selfless. So where is the balance here in all of this?
Okay, so first of all, the super helper is the first part of the coined term. And then I'll describe the super helper syndrome. So a super helper is somebody that loves to help, and all of our hands will go up and say, do we find ourselves helping perhaps more than we would like to, but do we still enjoy that? Do we give from a heartfelt place, Lorena, as you might say? Do we also find ourselves in a caring role for young people or dependents who are aging or our partners? And I think super helper and super helping as a theme itself is healthy if it comes with what Susie was talking earlier about, self-care. You know, if it's balanced with boundaries, then that's lovely. Let's all just keep on giving in the way that we find helpful, in the way that we benefit too. But when it slips into super helper syndrome, what we're finding is there's a lack of care that we give to ourselves. We, for a number of different reasons, and there's a lot of detail in the book, and I point to some of the research, but also 50 interviews that I held with people from all over the world who acknowledged that they had probably felt super helper syndrome. So the super helper syndrome specifically is about helping to the detriment of your own well-being, feeling compelled to help even to the detriment of your own well-being. So we're slipping into the no needs belief, like I have no needs, hey, look at me. And there are other people who have mentioned this in the research. So there's a neuroscientist, Barbara Oakley, who calls the kind of pathologizing altruism. I wouldn't go that far necessarily, but I have spoken to, and I do continually meet people whose helping tips them into problematic situations, even by accident.
Yeah, and I think earlier we were talking a bit about generational experiences that are passed down. And as I was looking through all your work, I was thinking about how much of this is generational, where does it tip into that syndrome where it's more problematic, and also this notion of nature versus nurture. And we've been talking a lot about women and men and gender and where all of that fits into this framework.
Beautiful. So looking at the research, it shows that some people suggest that up to 68% of our DNA it could be shown that our empathy is explained by up to 68% of our DNA. So some research shows that that much is already within us, hardwired as such, even when we're born. So without the childhood messages, the parental guidance, without the societal norms and standards, the expectations that others put upon us and that we therefore take on ourselves, without all of the additional external forces in our lives, some of us are naturally more empathic than others. And you, I'm sure all of us here have met people who we know, some people have more empathy than others, and that's just the way the world is. And I feel like to your second point about gender difference, I think listening to Phil earlier, I wrote some notes because I think this is a really interesting phenomenon. The super helper syndrome seems to play out differently for men and women. So women may tend to be the giver, the doer, the server, the supportive helper. And men tend to be, you tend to go to men for resources, help. So can I borrow something of yours, or can you come around and like bang a hole into my wall? I mean, this is super traditional, but you know, just bear with me here for simplifying a lot of research in just a minute. But the men we spoke to tend to also be the fixer in the family, and especially the confidant. And one particular case was one university student had three, a male university student had three female university housemates, and each of those would come and gossip about the other ones. And he very much felt, and I think this is like a little, a seed really of what happens in older life as well, in an adulthood and at work as well. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I'm going to have to jump in, ladies and Phil, and I don't want to, but before we go, I'd love Susie and Lorena to just give us one or two sentences to close out the show before Kelly and I set the dream scene again for our listeners. Susie, starting with you. Thank you, Jess. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. I'd just love to plant the seed that the opposite of selfless isn't selfish. The opposite of selfless is boundaried. And we can be kind and loving people and boundaried.
Oh, Lorena, over to you. Something for listeners to take away.
Yeah, I would say that before trying to help others, to understand others, to make others happy, it would be great if we can accept ourselves, understand ourselves, be happy in ourselves. And it might sound selfish, but it's actually the best way to help and love others.
Beautiful. What a thought-provoking conversation today. We need many, many more hours for this. You are all so amazing, and I'm so grateful for our wonderful guests. Susie Redding, author of How to Be Selfish. Go check it out. You can't do without it. Lorena Bernal, for her, It Starts With You. And it really does. We champion on this show the inside-out Path to Healing. Jess Baker, author of Super Helper Syndrome. If you're one of these empathetic souls who's always running around exhausting yourself for others, please go get that book. And of course, Phil Webster, our brave heart today, because it took a lot of courage, I think, to come into this dream circle. And of course, our regular dream presenters, the lovely Margarita and Dr. Amy Robbins. I'm so grateful that you've all reminded us to prioritize ourselves, that it isn't selfish in the negative sense. It's actually deeply healing, isn't it, Kelly?
Absolutely. I keep coming back to the, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And another way of saying that is if my tank is full, then I have more to give. I'm not giving from fumes. And all of this does come back to dreams, because everyone and everything in our dreams is an aspect of ourselves. And our dreams aren't judging us. They're just holding up a mirror, asking us and showing us how we're really doing.
You're out dream debriefing me, because I love the way you brought it back to dreams. Thank you. They are the most honest storytellers we have, aren't they, Kerry?
They don't lie. Yeah.
They remind us that the people, the emotions, the symbols we meet in dreams are all parts of us trying to be seen, heard, and understood, trying to shine and be listened to. Yeah,
absolutely. Which means when we listen to our dreams, we're actually practicing the very thing that we've been talking about today, some radical self-care, being selfish with a capital S and putting ourselves first, and not just being an overwrought super helper. Because when you start listening to your dreams, you begin to realize something incredibly powerful, that the wisdom, the guidance, and the healing that you're searching for, hello, it's been within you all along. And your dreams are like nightly love letters from your soul saying, you matter. Your story matters. Your heart matters.
And that brings us perfectly to the song that we've chosen to close the show today. It's Show Yourself from Frozen 2, which is such a beautiful anthem of self-discovery. In the song, the heroine spends so long searching for a mysterious voice calling her, only to realize at the end of the movie, plot spoilers here, that the voice she's been seeking was her own truth, her own inner core all along. And that's really the message of today's show. In dreams and in life, the person you are searching for, the wisdom you're seeking, the healing you need is within you. So tonight, when you go to sleep, listen to your dreams, show yourself compassion, and remember, you are the one that you've been
waiting for.
Go on, heal yourself, dream yourself, everyone.
Sweet dreams.